The earliest known depictions of Jesus, drawings of Jesus, are not Jesus on the cross. The cross was still seen as way too horrific to be depicted in art with Jesus. That would come later, centuries later. The earliest known pictures of Jesus were not Jesus as the great king with a crown upon his head. That would come later as well. But the earliest drawings of Jesus are in the catacombs, in the underground burial grounds in Rome, and they depict Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus with the lamb around his shoulders, carrying it. Jesus the shepherd with his staff in hand and the sheep around him. Jesus is the good shepherd, the Lord who came to gather his sheep and to bring them home safely. The psalm we have today speaks of the Lord as the good shepherd. I've called it for a long time the Michael Jordan psalm. Because it's one, if you ask somebody, name one of the psalms, this is most likely the one they're going to know. Yeah, that's that one you always hear at funerals. I am the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Plus it's number 23. And so it's the Michael Jordan psalm. It's a great one, but it speaks of the Lord is the good shepherd. And this was a psalm that the church fathers, the earliest Christians who first wrote of the faith, helping us to understand it more deeply, this was the psalm they went back to again and again, and they loved this Psalm 23 because within it, it captures the whole of the Christian faith, all of it in these few lines. And it speaks about the sacramental reality of our faith. You know, the sacraments where the veil between heaven and earth is pierced, is drawn back. Sacraments are these things of heaven which come to us in earthly form. But these things in earthly form, water, bread, oil, they draw us into heaven. The veil between the two is pierced in the sacraments. And the church fathers loved Psalm 23 because it captured all of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. That the call of the Lord Jesus, announcing that the kingdom of God is here, and that the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plains, those who would hear Jesus preaching would come and he would have them sit down in the grass and he would preach to them. He would speak the words of God to them. The good news in the green pastures. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. That those who hear the word of God and are drawn to follow Jesus, they come to the restful waters of baptism, which refreshes their soul. This word refreshes, it translates a couple Hebrew words, which means he refreshes my soul. He brings my soul back to life. My soul, which was dead through the restful waters that the Lord leads me to, brings them back to life. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. That it's the Lord who hearing his call and entering into this life with him, that he is the one who shepherds me through the dark valley of this life. But every valley is a valley which is there next to the mountain. And it's the Lord who shepherds us up upon the mountain. We hear in the prophet Isaiah 3 times this morning, upon this mountain, upon this mountain, upon this mountain, upon this mountain, he will feed us with the great feast. Upon this mountain, he will destroy death and wipe every tear away, and the veil will be torn. Upon this mountain we will rejoice. You know what's really great? Of a church that's built, and the way that it's built is meant to convey the deep truths of our faith. A church that has this traditional architecture in mind, such as this one does, that from the moment you come into the church, you're coming upward. You come into the entrance, you come up the stairs. You come here into the sanctuary, you come up to the altar, and you go up to the high altar, to the tabernacle itself. That upon the mountain which is Mount Calvary, Jesus upon the cross, and upon that mountain, from there, the Lord feeds us. And it's upon that mountain that the Lord destroys death and gives life. And it's upon this mountain that we rejoice. And it's the Lord who leads us there, that he spreads the table before us, this great Eucharistic feast, that he feeds us with his very life. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup overflows. The sacrament of confirmation, in which we who have been shaped and adopted as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in baptism, in the sacrament of confirmation, the Holy Spirit now fills us to overflowing, such that our entire lives, through that sacrament in which we're sent out as missionaries, our life is overflowing with the love of God. Our cup overfloweth, and only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. That following the Lord as the good shepherd and living in this life that this heavenly life that he fills me up with in the sacraments, everywhere I go and in everything I do, the goodness of God and his kindness follow me. That it's lived out in my life, in my good works, in the love of God that is lived out through me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. That the good shepherd comes to shepherd us, to guide us, and to bring us home to God, to heaven. But we hear in the gospel, this great feast, this great celebration of the Lord that Jesus has now extended to all people, that there are many who hear the invitation and they refuse it. That the invitation to this great feast is extended to them, but it's refused. The Lord is the good shepherd. He shepherds differently from when I was a child. I wasn't a shepherd. I grew up, I was a herder of cattle. We didn't have sheep. But we were different because the Lord is a good shepherd, and he calls his sheep and they come to him. When I was out this time of year in October, after we had cut corn for silage, and you know there's tons of little corn cobs are still out in the field, we would put the cattle out there after I got home from school. And then either on the three-wheeler, very dangerous. I don't know why they decided, let's make it a three-wheeler instead of a four-wheeler. That'll be great. Or upon horseback, much better, I would herd the cattle. And then at about 5 o'clock, have to bring them back in into the corral on the farm. There was no cattle who, when I called them, and if they didn't come, I was like, oh, well, that cow's not coming today. No, I went around with a three-wheeler, I circled around, and I chased his behind back into the corral. And every one of them I made sure got back into the corral, because they had to. Because I was the one who was going to be in trouble if it wasn't. The good shepherd is different from that, though. The good shepherd is one who he calls to his sheep, but he does not force them to come into his corral. He doesn't force them to come to him. But instead, it's this image of the wedding feast, that the way that the Lord calls us is as a groom calling to his bride, and that they both enter into this freely and with love, because we have this gospel passage. You got the king, right? You got his son. You got the wedding feast. Tell me, what's missing? You got the guests even being called. What's missing? The bride. You're right. Where's the bride? That's you. It's me. It's the church. The church, which is the bride of Christ. But we're called to freely enter into this feast. The feast which we celebrate each Sunday. The Lord calls to all. He invites all. But there are those who reject it. They turn away from it. But the Lord continues to call. And he calls even those on the very margins who were meant to echo that call to come and to join the feast. Okay, you're like, here I am. I come. We hear, though, of that one guest at the end of the gospel, which if you want, you can cut out of reading it today. I don't know why you would. It's where it gets fun. You know, the guest who shows up and hasn't changed, and he gets kicked out. When the Lord calls us, and when the Lord calls you, he calls you to come and to change. He bids us to come unto him and to change. This one guest came to the feast but refused to change. We come here not just to check the box off, okay, I went to Sunday Mass, but we come to receive the Lord and to become what we receive. Only the foolish enter into a marriage thinking, oh, it's not going to change me. The whole point of marriage is to be changed and transformed. That this person makes me a better person, and to be transformed and to be prepared for heaven through your spouse. We come, and we come to be changed and to enter into the deeper conversion and deeper repentance in our hearts. That our lives might be ones where goodness and kindness of the Lord and the overflowing of his Holy Spirit is continually coming forth from our lives and changing us and changing others through us. The Christian life is a life of change, but it's not a change in which, okay, I recognize I need to do that and I just need to try harder. Or I don't know if I have the strength for that. St. Paul says, I can do all things through the Lord. Through my own strength? No. Through my own determination? No. Through my own conviction that this is what I need to do finally? No. St. Paul says, I can do all things through the Lord who strengthens me. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, he not only calls us to himself, to this feast, but he also then gives us the strength and the grace we need to change and to be transformed through him. He calls us and he gives us that which we need. That the Lord is the Good Shepherd who calls us to himself. He feeds us. He transforms us. And he's the Good Shepherd who brings us home.